This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for May 28th, 2018, with Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. What's going on? How have you been? What was your week like? Did you make a difference in the world? Or did you just play your video games, you damn kids?
What, can't you make a difference and play the damn video games?
Yes. Yes. I firmly believe that. You can make a difference. Like this weekend, this coming weekend, this Saturday at 2 o'clock Pacific time. I think that's 4 p.m. your time. Hold on. 5. 5 p.m. Eastern. You'll get to watch me and 9 other podcasters do the Heroes Charity Brawl, which we've done 3 years in a row, and we play video games to earn charity money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation for little kids, and I'll have details at the end of today's show so people know where to go. But there's an example, playing games, making a difference.
That's very productive. That is much more productive than my video gaming this week.
That's right. Mine is, actually, I played a few, but...
I played some. I just didn't have any outcome other than my enjoyment.
Oh, I see. You didn't
and
have any
frustration.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't want to act like I just had a great gaming week or something. I would. Go that far.
Nothing you did helped kids, is what you're saying.
No.
Okay.
Well,
that's fine. Yeah. Look, I try to have at least one thing a week where I help the less fortunate. It's your choice, Brian. It's your choice. If you don't want to help kids that are sick,
blown away that you do one thing every week to help the children. I'm going to have to ask you every week. So what have you done this week for the children, Scott?
Well, right now I'm making them a podcast, and so are you. We do enjoy being here. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and especially those who show up live. And I say specially, but I mean especially.
E-specially.
E-specially, which is a electronic specially. Hey, right. Let's get right into it. So what have we been up to this week? I'll tell you what I've been doing. I don't know if you heard this. It's been a few weeks now, maybe a couple of weeks or something, since Battle Right, a PC game, which is known primarily for kind of arena style, and not quite MOBA, not quite World of Warcraft arena, not quite RTS, but kind of some combo of all those things. I mean, it feels like a MOBA a little bit, but it's really just a head-to-head battle mode kind of game.
But it's not like a Royale, right?
It's not, but it will be.
Wants to be a Royale.
That's the big crazy news, is that the game is going to have a Battle Royale mode added to it. And I'm showing some video in the chat so you can get a taste for the game. But it's a fantastic little game. There are healers and tanks and damage dealers and whatever. And you go into this arena. There's a bunch of different arenas, a bunch of characters to choose from. And you go in there and use your kind of, you know, your MOBA skills to jump around and kill dudes and create combo opportunities. You can actually do 3-on-3. We're looking at a 2-on-2 match here. The big news was they announced they are planning a Battle Royale mode, a.k.a., you know, not unlike what you're getting with the PUBG and the
right. You drop in somewhere, you battle, and slowly the environment contracts upon you until there is only one, right?
Which is this game, which is kind of ironic. This game already does that a little bit.
Right.
It has its main mode is if you go too long in the third or whatever round you're in, it starts to get a circle that encloses around you until it's kind of a tight little arena where you gotta basically poop or get off the pot, right? You gotta fight.
And this game is free.
Free to play, yes. When I got into it, I paid $15 to be kind of an early access person. It's out of early access now, and I've been playing it for I don't know, a year and a half. It was worth it though, because I get every new character and every new anytime they introduce a new character, I just get it. So I don't have to pay for it or buy it or whatever. I just get one. So I got kind of like this cool lifetime thing, which seemed worth it at the time. And I think that it is. Anyway, the long and the short of it is they are adding a mode where 100 get in, one leaves. And there's not a ton of details or there's some details, but not a ton of stuff about when this is going to happen. But I thought, which, you know, this is the whole point of why I'm back in. I should get in there and just brush up me skills because it turns out the game itself is going to play very much the way it plays. You're just going to do it in these giant arenas that, you know, everyone jumps into and plays. And
I find this interesting because for some reason in my head, I was thinking Scott was anti-MOBA.
Oh, no. Well, yes. Hmm. Well, yes. No. Yes?
No. Sort of? Yes. Okay. Maybe some prejudiced.
I'm not anti-MOBA. I'm just terrible at them. And that was true up until Heroes of the Storm, which is a MOBA and I really enjoy. So I like that game a lot. They got it right, in my opinion. It's a much more playable experience. I really just can't enjoy. I just don't enjoy like League of Legends and Dota 2. I just can't do it. I don't know why. Those are the two biggies. They just kind of don't really melt my cheese.
Right.
The way you want it to. So, those bum me out. And I play a lot of Heroes as a result. This is not that, though. So there's no, like, laning phase stuff. There's no towers to take down. So it's not really a MOBA. If you ever played PvP in World of Warcraft, like specifically the arena stuff in World of Warcraft,
right.
It's a lot more like that.
Okay.
The only reason it's kind of MOBA-like is it's MOBA. The controls are similar, like, you know, A through R. Sort of keyboard controls, although in this case you're doing WASD to move around and using other keys to do stuff. You don't use the mouse for movement. So it's more like, in some ways it's almost like a shooter, but you're way up. It's not first person. You're way up above it all.
Right.
And what else? I don't know what else to compare it to. It's just very fun, very, very competitive. Has a strong community. People are into it. I like it.
So can I ask a question?
Yeah.
If I commit this play free to play game and download all these gigabytes, are you going to be playing it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hell
okay.
Yeah. Why don't we play this? You and I should play this.
Click. I'm clicking it now.
All right.
Battle right.
Get in there. Let's do it. Let's you and I put our pedal to the metal
and
give ourselves the love we need. No, I think you'll like it. I really do think you'll like it. If you don't like it, I'll
reimburse me.
I'll reimburse you your free amount of money that you didn't spend on anything.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. I got you all covered. So that's it. Battle Royale. Played a bunch of it just to kind of brush
Battle
up the
right.
skills.
Don't or say best. Battle Royale.
I keep saying that. Battle Right. I don't know what they're going to call their mode. Battle Right Royale? Battle Royale.
Right.
Battle Right.
Battle
Royale.
Rital.
Battle or Burger Burger?
Look, man, every time I turn around lately, it's been Royale has been added to everything. I can't even go to France and get a cheeseburger without it being a Royale. No, that's not. That's
right, right. Oh, that's right. Another thing I forgot. The chat room just mentioned it. Velvet Tip again, or Velvet Lip, sorry.
Velvet. I call him Velvet Tip every time, too, but it is Velvet
Lip.
Lip,
yeah.
Which makes more lip. Sense and is not nearly as perverty.
It's they kind of go together, though. If you got a velvet lip, you may as well have a velvet tip. Oh, yeah.
No.
Anyway, he says Battle Royale also gives away mounts and skins with your Twitch Prime account. That is true. So some nice benefits there. So you want to check that out. Brian, I understand that you not only, well, we talked about it last week, but you beat God of War. But now you found out you're only like 27% through the damn thing.
Right. I don't think I mentioned last week that I completed the main story. I don't think. But I did. I completed the main story. So update, God of War, PS4. Completed the main storyline. I was kind of surprised that it was only at 27% complete because, you know, I'm not exactly a completionist, but I do, you know, if I see something sitting around, I'll go loot it.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
What is that? A chest? I'll loot that. And so, but yeah, I finished it at 27%, by the way. Okay. So you said you watched, I believe you said your daughter finished this game.
Yes, she beat it, and then she hasn't touched it since. So I know there's plenty of her. She's definitely at that place where she didn't finish. Like finish in the sense that you're talking about, which is like go all the way, clear out every possible thing.
Let's go all the way. Oh. Did you watch the end story with her? Did you, was you, you said you saw it. Did you see what happened?
No, I haven't. I've stayed spoiler free. I still need to finish it myself. I'm not going to, I don't want to know yet. I want to see that.
Oh my gosh, you got to complete it. It's just, it's so satisfying. I was like, oh, that was so satisfying at 27%. But I didn't stop there. I thought the same thing. I was like, you know, I'm going to be done with this. I'm going to finish the main story. And I was kind of disappointed. So I was like, oh, 27%. I'm not going to go back and do anything else. I'm at 50% now.
Yeah.
I have went back and I've even been enjoying the grind that I'm in right now because I've upgraded my armor and my weapons and everything. There's so much stuff you can upgrade in God of War, by the way, and your skill tree. I've almost maxed out on my skill tree, but you can only upgrade so far until you have to have certain elements, and those two elements are in two realms that I opened up at the end game of the main story. And I've been just grinding away in the mist area, which is this generated area that every time you get into, you face new bad guys, and you have to fight in this mist, and your health is slowly deteriorating, and you're also fighting at the same time. And when you complete it, you collect so much mist, and you have to run back out. And if you don't run back out, you lose everything you got.
Oh, my.
So that's pressure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then you have, I've been doing that one, and I've been doing this fire level. It's a fire realm, and it's just nothing but just bad guy after bad guy. Just do it. And I'm finally starting to get really good at my moves.
It's like a little, like a horde mode kind of thing, kind of setup.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because you go in, you can actually, there's a giant sword. Of course, it's God of War.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big giant sword in the middle of the fighting area, and you walk up and you choose. You can either practice, and I'm like, why would I want to practice? There's no penalty for dying other than you know. So I'm like, I just go straight for it, man. Just start.
Sure.
And getting those fire embers so I can upgrade my upgrading my weapons, and so that I can go, because my end goal, the second completion for me is going to be to fight these is it harpies? That's not harpies. What the hell is it?
They're a bunch of,
why am I thinking harpies?
They're kind of like harpies, but they're like a bunch of flying winged people.
Why am I the Valkyries? The Valkyries.
Valkyries.
Boom.
Valkyrie needs food badly. Got it.
Anyway. Valkyrie needs food badly. So that's really the ultimate bad guy in what I'm playing so far, is to try to beat these crazy tough Valkyries. And I faced one early on in the game while I was still in the main story, but it was just like a joke. It was just like, yeah, you won't be able to do this.
Right.
Because it's pretty much just like I hit the Valkyrie and the Valkyrie went, and I went, ah! I said, boy!
So did you. just yelling, boy, as you die off.
Get
to the
my
side.
Boy! Get my resurrection stone, boy!
Yeah, I've never seen you quite this into finishing and playing additional content for a AAA title like this. You don't do this normally. It's not your thing.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big AAA game usually kind of guy, but for some reason, God of War, and I think I know what it is, is something that is starting to kind of disappear a little bit as I've played further on. First of all, I love Christopher Judge.
He's amazing.
Voice actor.
Yeah, he's killing it.
He's amazing. Love it. I could listen to him all day.
Yeah.
And so they have these great storytelling moments while you're traveling. So like if you're traveling from one location to the other, you know, Mimiri, I don't want to give anything away. Okay. So anyway, there's story being told as you're traveling, and there's all this great mythos. Some of it's real. Some of it's been a little modified, from Norse mythology. And so I'm just enjoying doing that. So half my fun is going in there, kicking the trash, and then getting back to the tales.
Yeah, and tell me the deep, wicked story of Kratos and his friends. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, tell me why Odin has birds follow me. That jerk.
Yeah,
birds out of here. Ah!
Odin's an ass.
But he's a big old Odin ass.
Yeah.
And the All Father, whatever. All Father, kiss it. But yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I like this game so much, is I feel like I feel like the story is cohesive, and it actually makes me go look at other games and I'm like, wow, this story is so thin. Why are these so thin stories in these other games? And this is just so robust and rich.
They're into the,
it's all that I know, of course.
They've created a world that's that feels like it was built with a lot of care and passion.
Yes.
And the story, for what the personal story is great, but it also just, it's the kind of world and the kind of setup and the kind of presentation that makes you think about everything else that's probably going on in this world. So it feels thicker and richer than it even maybe is, which is kind of awesome.
It also strikes home for me because most of my Norse mythology stuff that I know is from Marvel. You know, it's mostly the Thor storyline, which I know. I've been going back and reading Neil Gaiman's mythology book.
Oh,
and,
I read that. I loved that book. I loved that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So good.
So this has been like the center of this almost this huge consumption of mythos that I've been learning. So it is consuming a lot of me.
Yeah, I was.
But I do want to play because the creator suggestions on PS4. So the creative director behind God of War had mentioned a couple of things that were inspirational to him while he was doing this, you know, this monumental undertaking. And Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, had come up a couple of times. Also, just recently released. I don't know if he has some, you know, some stuff behind the scenes, but I really like that. It's also set in more of that Norse mythology kind of area or time. And it looks really good. I want to get in that too.
That's on sale or was on sale or might still be
on sale. It was on sale a couple of weeks ago. I missed out. It was $20. Now it's back up to the normal price of $30. I may wait another couple of weeks while I finish up God of War and hope that it kind of goes on sale again. We'll see.
Yeah, that game's supposed to be pretty nifty. It's a... He had something to do with that. I don't remember what, but it was also the team that we all know, or at least some of the people we all know and love that worked on Heavenly Sword, which eventually the same guys ended up making. The one that everyone loved last year. The deal with the giant dinosaur animals, robots.
Was it Ark? No.
Nope. Came out when Zelda did. It was a fantastic, great game with a lady in it, and it was awesome.
It was fantastic. It had dinosaurs, and it had
Horizon Zero Dawn. Gosh dang it.
Oh, you know, that's another game that's been on my
To play Horizon Zero Dawn.
I know.
That game's amazing.
Like I said, I have avoided AAA titles for a really long time. I'm more of an indie game kind of guy. They just, even when Destiny 2 came out this past year, I was kind of like, I want to play it, but I'm like, I don't know. It just, by the way, I'm playing that again. But I just like, I don't know. I'm just not. I want to see something independent and artsy. And you know what? This carries a lot of art and a lot of depth for a AAA title.
I agree. This is not your typical commercial thing. It has an attention to detail that is both expensive, and so you know it feels like a AAA game, but really serves the player. It's really, really good.
Right.
I'm looking at some Hellblade video. This also looks rad. I need to finally play this because I hear this the Hellblade deal is like it's more than just game with lady in it. It's supposed to be a really deep, like philosophical, mental thing with lots of anguish and stuff. And I'm into it. So bring it
on. I am too. They approach a little bit of stuff about mental health. Yeah. And I've heard some people complain that they didn't handle it the right way. I've heard people say they did just fine. So I'm really interested in this game as well. Also, while I was in God of War and I was like, I haven't talked to Scott this week. I'm like, I wonder if he's gotten back into God of War. I was like, hey, you know what? I'll just look real quick. I'll compare my trophies on God of War to Scott's, kind of see, you know, where is he at? Is he kind of, you know, is he completed the story? I'm like, there's a couple of trophies that I know that are tied into the completion of the main story. So I figured I'd kind of peek in there and I was like, Scott.
I haven't touched it. I haven't touched it.
Where are your trophies at?
I haven't touched it. I've been busy. I've had stuff. I didn't do it yet. So I'm gonna.
Right.
I'm gonna.
Do you ever shame your friends for not having the same trophies? Do you ever do that?
Yeah, I shame you all the time, but then this time you're whooping me, so.
Oh, well, you've been busy.
Yeah, I have been busy.
I mean, you've been playing Battle Right.
Yeah, Battle Right. You know, little dudes running around on the screen shooting each other.
And Space Hulk.
Oh, let's talk about Space Hulk. So last year, There, I love, let's talk about a thing that I think is a known quantity. I love a Warhammer 40K game, no matter kind of what the setting is or what the play is like.
Right.
I just love me some Warhammer. And I am a huge fan of the ideas and the concepts that are in that particular mythology. So I don't entirely understand how it's connected to the original Warhammer fantasy universe. Tabletop gamers can tell me all the details they want, but basically my understanding is that they're not actually connected. But in my head, I like the idea that these wizards and trolls and orcs and stuff that from the fantasy era, I like the idea that 40,000 years later, it's all in space with giant, you know, giant space swords and orcs and stuff like that. I don't think that's how it's actually supposed to be.
Right.
But that's how I see it.
Why am I seeing Geiger aliens?
Oh, it's very Geigery.
But it's not real alien crossover since they have similar look.
Oh, right? Yeah. No, there's no. Yeah. There's
it's not in the same universe or nothing.
No. Not that I'm aware of. There's never been any actual crossover between these franchises. But
right.
The game Space Hulk : Deathwing.
Isn't that the coolest name, though? Space Hulk.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Not to be confused with Marvel's Planet Hulk.
Oh, that's good stuff too.
But it's in the 40K universe, which is, you know, it's all very gothic and there's magic and there's all this, but it's also a lot of technology. You're flying around in big giant space cruisers and stuff and going to planets and doing things. And I've always loved that entire everything about it. I don't care. And it's mostly in video games. I don't play the tabletop games. So I don't know enough about 40K there to even do much. I've read part of the Heresy books and I haven't gotten very far in those. I'd like to read more. But the actual game, the way that they've been implemented in video games is some of my favorite stuff in the freaking world. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's big, hulking space marine guys with like ornate armor and wicked helmets, and their names are like Ezekiel and stuff like that, and they're very
I was with you. It's like, and then a badass name like Ezekiel.
They're very biblical, like they're just sort of Ezekiel, take the fourth quarter and we will reunite as brothers. It's that kind of stuff.
So, now, I got to ask one question real quick. Are you doing the enhanced edition or?
Herein lies the fun commentary about what we're going to talk about. So last year when that game came out, people were like, this isn't very good.
Yeah.
It was janky and kind of broken. And despite the fact that it was based on Unreal 4 and people were excited about that, it had problems, like a lot of like mostly technical problems and glitches and sometimes game breaking bugs. And it was really just put out unfinished. That was the big complaint. And I remember seeing that going, oh, man, this is a super, super huge bummer. It was supposed to have some really cool multiplayer elements in it. But mainly the thing I was looking forward to was like this corridor crawling, wipe out the aliens, clean up the Space Hulk, get out and do another mission sort of gameplay loop that this series is known for. I'd played there's an old 3DO game called Space Hulk that I played back in the 3DO days. And then I think PlayStation got it as well. It was an EA game at the time. And I'm sure it looks like garbage now, but at the time, I thought that game was something else, man. Really, really cool. And just walking around going, someone pulled the Zephyr to the out the starboard side of the ship, Ezekiel. I will, my brother. Like all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, big man talk.
Yeah.
Hey, if you got to wear that Space Hulk, you know, costuming, you got to speak big.
Yeah, you got to talk big, right? You carry a big stick and all that. And then you got these librarian guys who can like see the future. They're called the Librarian, but really they're tough badasses with guns and swords and stuff. You got the I don't know what they're called, but they're like the wizard people in the Imperium who always are, they're super modified, so they're like barely human anymore. So they got all kinds of like Doc Ock arms and weird stuff like that, but they're like mystics and stuff. And then you got orcs, which are basically just green, angry orcs going, "Oi, we should destroy all the human." Like they're just that, but they're big, bulky, monstrous orcs that fly in really cool ships. They're basically Reavers from Firefly. Like just badass stuff across the board. There's a reason why way back in the 90s, Blizzard completely lifted Warhammer and Warhammer 40K. Warhammer for Warcraft and Warhammer 40K is completely lifted for StarCraft. It's the basis of StarCraft.
I feel like somewhere along the line, somebody that was on this development team went into the future, grabbed a book called Badass Names, got back in the DeLorean, went back in time and said, all right, we're going to name the first one Warhammer. And then subsequently, every other game is going to be some badass names.
Yep.
Space Hulk.
Yep.
Deathwing.
Yep. All of those things are true.
Everything, it always feels like you want to shout.
And every character in it, everything they say in them, the big ideas that are in them. It's a dark and apocalyptic kind of vision of the future. Everyone's at war all the time. It's just, I think, when it comes to this kind of stuff, it's super visionary. It's really, really cool.
They really are.
Now, you might say, well, Scott, that sounds great, but you just said the game was janky. Well, I didn't pick it up then because I was super bummed out. The reviews on Steam were in the toilet. Yeah, people were like, oh, this
50%.
Is junk. People were so mad.
Bad.
So then comes along an announcement. I didn't actually hear the announcement, but apparently it was announced. I saw the game went live. An enhanced edition, which is normally kind of weird. You save that for like 10 years from now when a game's a classic and you make an enhanced edition. But what this was a little bit different. This was them making good, it sounds like. And by that, they weren't going to make you buy a new game. If you already owned and had, not returned the old one or the one that came out kind of broken, you'd get this one automatically. If you hadn't bought it before, you could get this one at a discount and basically skip the bad one and get the good one.
Right.
And I'm happy to report that it runs 100% great, and I haven't had any problems at all with it.
Awesome.
It's beautiful. Unreal 4 engine. Some of the most realistic graphics I've seen in a while. My only complaint would be, and I don't know why this is a complaint, because the original Space Hulk was this also, and I guess the board game's reflective of this, the Space Hulk board game spinoff thing. It is kind of horde mode all the time. By that, I mean every corner you turn around and you hear, there's movement, my lord, to the right, or whatever. And you turn around and there's like a million of these creatures. Then you just blow them to pieces. Then it kind of calms down for a while. And then you move around the next corner. Ezekiel, to your left. So there's a lot of that. And that I should expect that because that's what this game is. They've always been this.
Right.
You're searching out derelict, giant, floating space Hulk ship. That's what they're referring to as Space Hulk ships.
Right.
Ships that are just derelict and nobody's running them supposedly, but instead they're infested with the what are they called? The Krazarine, the Kribbida Doody Doo.
Gene Stealers.
They're basically the Zerg. Okay. That's kind of what they are. So you go and you're supposed to clear out the ships and get important stuff out of there and whatever. It's the structure you'd expect. It's a little like Aliens, you know. You don't know where they are. You got movement trackers, but you're not sure what's going on. But they've really nailed just like the gothic statues and giant edifices inside of these ships. These ships are like giant cathedrals.
Mm.
And that vibe is throughout, and I love it. And it's bloody and gory and to victory, victory or death, and just that kind of stuff is great. You control your AI teammates, so if I got a little AI guy with me and I want him to heal me, I can tell him to heal me. I can tell him to follow me or sit still or do a little waypoint in front of me. So there's a little squad action stuff going on.
But you said squad action.
Well, so it's a squad with a D, not with a T.
Right.
You can do multiplayer, though I haven't tried it yet, but apparently that's pretty cool. Anyway, I think
online co-op. Yeah, we got to maybe this is our another game we got to play because I want this. I was the same way. I saw the original release. I didn't know they were coming out with an enhanced edition.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
It's basically Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
Vermintide. These are similar kinds of experiences. The goal isn't so much, I don't know, there's a little more mission structure to it than that, but it is a lot of sort of, oh no, we've awakened the hive, and then you got to blow away a million of these things. And then when they finally stop, you're like, whoo, okay, heal up. Let's see if we can get this. Like, it's one of those kinds of games.
Right.
But this could be like the worst genre in the world for me. It's not, but it could be, and I'd still probably play it because I'm so into the setting and the vibe and the look and the sound and just the world, man. Just love that freaking stuff. Did you play Space Marine on the 360 by chance or PC back in the day?
On the PC.
Yeah.
I never played on the 360.
Oh, that game was so good.
Very good.
Excellent. That was Mark Strong, an actor people may know. I know him from lots of things. It's a bad guy in Kick-Ass. Anyway, he played the voice of that Space Marine guy, and that was an awesome game. I just love all that stuff. And I wish, playing it the whole time, I'm going, oh, man, they're just like animated shorts that aren't just game intros. Like, give me a real series of these. I would watch this. I'd watch it every episode. I'd watch whole two-hour movies set in this world. Like, I just cannot get enough of Warhammer 40K. Despite the fact that I've never once played the board game or have any tabletop experience with any of its iterations. I've never painted a figurine. I don't know. We have plenty of fans who do that.
But there's a whole area for that. I don't think you have to do both.
You don't think you have to do both?
I think I think you're fine doing one. I think you can just be, you know, video game side only.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay.
If you're wondering to yourself, well, Scott, what kind of gameplay is it? Well, it's a shooter. It's a first-person shooter. You got a sword or a power fist in one hand. Like, I'm looking at this sword right now. He's got a cool quote on it. I can't see what it says, but it's like, "We shall be victorious for the Empire," or whatever, some crap like that. Well, that's the other thing I like about this world, is the Emperor of the Imperium is actually been dead for centuries, maybe thousands of years, but they keep him artificially alive. And I don't know what that is. Just everything about it.
I had a do not resuscitate order on my.
Do not.
What the H?
Totally. The mapping system works a little bit like it's almost like Metroid Prime, kind of.
Oh.
Like, so lots of connected corridors, hallways. Oh, can't get through the store yet. Better go do another thing. Try that. Come back. Try it again. Whatever. You have a bolter. Which is this these awesome guns they have in this game. I'm watching them right now walk into this like cathedral place. It's so cool, dude.
It is. I tell you, the Unreal Engine is so perfect for this game. This is probably, to me, like where the Unreal Engine really shines. I mean, look, I see in this blood splatter stuff. I mean, where can you get that?
Yeah, no, the blood, the guts and the what would you call it? Their guts engine?
Frags?
It's real good. Not their frags, their, what they call it? Gibbs.
Gibbs.
Would you say Gibbs or Jibs? What'd you say back then?
I always said Gibbs, but it could be Jibs.
I always said Jibs.
Jibs.
I don't know why. GIF, JIF.
Gibbs.
I say GIF, but I say Jibs. Isn't that weird?
Guts.
That's a little weird, isn't it?
It is a little weird.
I think I'm a little weird. That's what you're thinking.
Maybe you need maybe you need a little help.
Maybe I do. Anyway,
Barry Gibb is MacBook Pro.
Barry
says.
Gibb. Barry Jibb. It's Barry
Jibb. Oh, no, Barry!
The Jibb brothers, they were known as. Anyway, it's cool. It's a little freaky. It's a little scary. I wouldn't say this is for your little nephew to play or anything. Lots of little scary stuff. You have these weird visions of terrible stuff that happens, and there's all sorts of, you know, gore and blood and everything, but it's just a great, I mean, I'd maybe compare it to like maybe the newest Doom it's kind of got that vibe a little bit to it. But it's not so over the top. It takes itself very seriously, which is what I like about these games. So anyway, it's Space Hulk Deathwing on the PC is where I got it. It is the enhanced edition. Do not mess with the original. I don't even think you can buy the original anymore.
Oddly, on the Steam store, it allows you to add it to the cart, but I can almost guarantee you, since it's the exact same price in sale, that it'll go ahead and say enhanced edition. It's probably just a link on the store. I don't know if you could buy the old one or not without...
Well, when it installed for me... Oh, by the way, I did all this because it was on sale. I should mention why it was even on my radar, but it might still be. Is it still?
It's 32 right now, which is a little bit off from the $40 that it has been.
Yeah, I think that was why. And I had some credit, and I thought, you know what? I love these games. I'm going to give them money. So anyway.
I got some credit.
It's really good. Check it out. It's the enhanced edition. Get it now while you're getting as good. Tell me about Forgotten Anne.
Oh, I'm going to tell you about Forgotten Anne because Daniel Pierce, you know that guy, does some voice work. You know the guy, right? Yeah. So he hooked me up with a copy of this insanely well-crafted, hand-animated mystery puzzler game. And it is just, it's kind of like, okay, so it looks like Japanese animation, but not like anime. You know, like Studio Ghibli.
Ghibli.
Ghibli. Right.
Is it Ghibli or Ghibli? See, now we're back to G.
I'm not going
to
get into that.
GJ, come on now. We got to make a decision. Ghibli. Gibbs.
I'm going with Ghibli.
All right, Ghibli. It's fine.
All right, so I'm going with Ghibli. So, all right, so you're this keeper. You're Anne, I'm assuming, because I think that's what they said, actually. And so you're in this world where objects from the real world are transported when they're lost by their owners, and they're called Forgotlings. So this game has a whole bunch of characters that you interact with. You're a human, a woman, human, and you're interacting with like socks and Tiffany lamps. By the way, very clever.
What?
Tiffany lamp's name is Tiffany.
Oh, geez.
And so right.
Wait, your socks are sentient. You can talk to them.
They're not your socks. They're single socks that were forgotten by the regular world, and now they're in this realm where they're trying to get back. There's actually a professor or doctor or master, I think is what they call, Banku, and he is creating this bridge back to the real world to get all these forgotlings, things that have been forgotten, whether it be socks or. And unfortunately, there's one that was a forgotten gun. I don't know about that one.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
It was a handgun. The first time I ever approached that, and I was like, whoa, stop talking at me because you're pointing that thing right at my face.
Oh, yeah, look at this. There's a table that was forgotten. There's a sock.
Yeah, tables are forgotten.
Yeah, the sock is bigger than the table. I think they've got a proportion problem, but it's fine.
They do have a proportion problem. That's okay. It's not distracting at all. But the voice acting is fun. I like all the different characters. You end up running into a lot of different voice actors.
Here's some talking.
Right here. Get a job with meaning. Remember, you're not rotten, just forgotten.
Yeah, that seems all right. Seems like the kind of stuff I'd like.
Right, and it is because okay. So from the very get go, you wake up and you're. I forget the exact term for what she is, but she's basically like she watches over everybody, and she's supposed to be kind of like the enforcer. I think it might be the name that they used, enforcer.
Okay.
So she has the ability to store energy units into her wristband, and that wristband also allows her to activate her wings, which she can do really high jumps with. Very Japanese. I really like it. Most of it's platforming stuff, so it really comes in handy when you got to get to certain locations.
All right.
But with that energy, you can activate certain like steam pipes and unlock certain areas in the game or solve certain problems by using that energy. It's not really steam, but it acts like steam because it kind of all runs through like tubes and that kind of thing.
I don't like steam.
Uh-huh.
That's why I like these energy crystals.
Yeah.
But the thing that disturbs me the most is you have to interact with these characters, and you do get options for how to communicate with these characters. So you can choose like to be gruff and short, or you can choose to be gentle. And that really comes into play because when you want a character to do something for you, if you're too overly aggressive with them, guess what? You're going to have to go a long way around to get back to where you was at because that guy ain't going to help you.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucks, but it's also a real good incentive to be nice. Sometimes you can't be nice. Like some of the first characters you come across, you have to decide whether to, and this is the part that really kind of hurts. It's really an emotional feeling. You actually de-energize these characters. So if you run across like a sock, this, you know, sentient, and you feel like he's a danger to the system, you literally suck his life force out of him.
Ew.
And he just dies. He's just, you know, he's inanimate now at that point in time. So
Do the socks successfully like make you feel like you are invested in them personally?
They kind of do, because the way the voice actors are doing a really good job in this. And so like there's different things like guns, scarves, Tiffany lamps, there's just tables, chairs, all kinds of things you can talk to. And they actually put characters into this, and they're real easily recognizable characters almost right away. You really get a sense of whether the character is good or bad, and sometimes you're not quite sure. And it kind of gives a little bit of conflict to whether or not you want to, you know, take their life, you know, and take it away. And sometimes you have to use it because you have to have that energy to perform a function, and you have to make that sacrifice. You're like, oh, sorry, guy, got to go.
Yep, out of here.
And yeah, you're out of here, buddy. But so far, I mean, it is just the animation is what really the animation and the voice acting is what really just nails this game, because it is just so unique looking
It doesn't look like graphics. It looks like
it's not. Remember how Dragon's Lair used to feel?
Yeah.
It's not to that degree where you're, you know, it's more like on a platformer type.
Right.
Layout,
but it's pretty seamless. This looks like you're moving around an animated character.
You really do. It's all hand drawn animation, and it's just beautiful. It's been a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun so far.
Yeah.
I'm only about maybe a quarter of the way in. I've solved a couple of major problems, yeah. But I still got a good ways to go. I like to report back on this again later, but I just huge thanks, because I don't know if I would have even seen this if Daniel Pierce hadn't threw it my way. But I'm glad to support it. It's a real fun game.
It seems cool. I guess I've never even, I mean, I hadn't heard of it, but this looks really nifty to me.
Yeah, it's getting good reviews too so far. You know, it's a 76 on Metacritic, not out the park, but very positive on Steam.
Yeah.
Just came out May 15th. Yeah. And so Square Enix is a publisher.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it a lot.
All right, so I also played two additional games, one of which I can't talk about very much because it's still under embargo.
Oh no!
Is it
in North Korea?
No, it's not in North Korea, but it's called Smoke and Sacrifice. It's on the PC. Okay. I think it's also on other platforms. I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm pretty sure. At least Switch or something. Right. But anyway, ooh, it's like a weird artsy take on Don't Starve is the best way I could put it.
How are you liking this then?
You know I don't like Don't Starve, right?
That's what I was going to say.
Part of what I don't like about Don't Starve, they should just call it Don't Like.
Don't Like.
Is
not me
an incredibly limited inventory system, and the fact that I have to keep hunger, sanity, and dark light management at an all-time focus. I hate that in that game. Now, I know that's right. Why people play survival games of different kinds. I get it, right? Like, I'm not here to poo-poo on your parade too much, but Don't Starve just didn't do it for me, and games like it just don't do it for me. I will say this, even though I can't say a ton about it yet, it's a really artsy take on the genre, and they don't have the whole sanity food crap. So it's already better because of that.
It kind of reminds me of, like, the characters kind of remind me, like, Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah. That game. Yeah, there's some of that. I mean, if you look at them in still images, it's a little bit misleading because you can't quite tell. It's hard to tell what kind of game or what this game looks like.
Right.
It looks more different than what you think. The characters in it are almost puppets. The style of graphics are not, these are not polygonal. They're not really 2D sprites. They are like, you know, when people do a thing with like Adobe After Effects, you know, where things kind of move, but it's hard to explain. I don't know how to explain this. Lots of parallaxing, lots of 2D characters. It's an odd look, but I don't know how to compare it to anything. It's almost like a storybook or something, but they don't have like a 360 degree sort of animated rotation.
I like some of these character designs though. Like there's a giant, he looks like a between a troll and a pug.
Yeah. He's like a big, I forgot, something bears. I forgot what they're called. Bug bears. That's what it is.
Bug bears. Oh yeah. Well, there's like a tube full of people's arms hanging out of there. I have a steam pipe. This is all stuff you can see on.
I'm probably supposed to say more than I am. I'm just not sure what the thing is, but there's a lot of competition stuff, combat rather, if I only had one real complaint, it would be that the combat's not, it's a little loosey-goosey. I find it hard to know when I'm actually hitting a thing because with these 2D characters running around in a 3D world, it's a little off-putting. But the art and the style of it is super rad. And you don't get hungry, which I'm way into.
I know. I only see two things. It looks like energy and health.
Yeah, energy and health.
Two things you're...
The energy I think is more of a... That might be a magic property thing, or it might be shields. So. I can't remember. And you craft stuff. It's like, I found a worm unit and some kind of tree branch. What can I make out of that? You can catch fireflies with these. And you can make food. And the food just restores your health if you took a beating during a battle or whatever. And anyway, it's got a story too, a bunch of other stuff. It's I don't know. It seems like a nice alternative for people looking for something. Don't starvish without the brutality
of the insanity, which is one of the things I like about it. It definitely puts it at a different level.
Well, that's why people like that stuff, right? Like
Yeah.
The other one I'm gonna mention is not one that I played very much of because I don't want to actually recommend it. I wish I could.
Oh.
But I can't. It's called Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse. Yeah, you heard me. Vicious
Attack Llama Apocalypse.
That's the one. And it's what if I told you it was a top-down dual-stick shooter?
I'd be out already. No, I'm just kidding.
Where you kill attacking llamas because llamas have taken over the world and are trying to kill everybody. So your job is to hop into this mech and kill all the many llamas that have come to kill you.
It looks like any top-down zombie shooter, dual stick shooter you've ever seen, but replace the element zombie with zombie.
Yes.
I mean with llama.
Yes, llamas instead of zombies, or instead of whatever the swarming creatures are.
Right.
I normally like a good
llama
dual stick shooter. I'm on record as loving that genre. I like action shooters like this. And my problem is not just the one line joke of, hey, they're llamas, get it? Isn't that weird? Llamas. That part falls a little flat for me. My problem is it doesn't do anything special. Like, there's nothing about the way it controls or moves or feels in the shooting department or the movement department that sets it apart. It just feels kind of average in that regard.
Right.
And it really bummed me out because I like these kind of games. And it's, you know, it's nicely presented for what it is. Like, visually, it's fine, but it's just llamas, and it's just, oh, no, more llamas. The human race is in trouble. What do we do? I guess we'll shoot them. I don't know.
It's funny because I think your gripe is you're at maximum llama exposure, because if this was just probably anything else other than llamas, you would probably be like, okay, yeah, I'm all right. But it sounds like the sticking point for you is I'm like, really? We've picked the thing of the year. The thing of the year has been llamas for the last year. I mean, everything you bought this last Christmas was llama related. I mean, it's been out there a lot, right?
It reminds me of, I mean, it's just like, hey, internet memes, they're funny. Let's put those in our video games. It's like, I don't want to play a game about Harambe, the freaking dead ape. I want to play video games about things that aren't based on today's hashtags, you know?
Right.
So I think that's rubbing me wrong.
It's according to how you hit me. If this was $5.99 and I was in a mood for a dual stick shooter,
yeah,
I think I would probably pick this up. But you're right. At $15, unless there is a deep Santa Llama City, that's pretty good. Unless there's a deep replayability or gimmick in that other than llamas, which may be. I haven't played it. I can't speak to that.
Well, for me, it's all about how does it feel. If it feels amazing, I can forgive all kinds of things. I can forgive a million other problems. Voice acting's pretty bad. There's a lot of other issues with it. It's just stiff and kind of, I don't know, just feels janky. It feels thrown together. If this felt like, you know, Geometry Wars in terms of its, you know, just the way it felt, then I'd probably be speaking much more highly about it, but. Anyway, Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse.
What could you put in there that wasn't a llama that would satisfy you in this shooter, you think? Sir.
Oh, man. That isn't already rabbit being maybe? Done to death or something? Like,
right, yeah.
I could probably go for... I mean, we've overdone it with goats. Now llamas. What else have we ruined?
You're telling me you wouldn't want a game where there's a bunch of screaming goats that's like constantly coming at you like Serious Sam style, where it's like, you wouldn't want that.
I just had a great idea, and I would totally play this. Here's what I'd do.
All right, do it.
Replace llamas and whatever your enemies are, you know, your zombie du jour or whatever it is, get rid of that.
Right.
And instead, it's fish who have figured out a way to get on land, and they're just all flapping towards you. You know, like they're on the ground. They can't really walk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like,
so
like,
they're just
yeah,
like flopping towards you.
Magic carp kind of.
Yes,
yeah,
and you do it. You do it. Magic carp's a great example. And you do it with like, you know, the early ones are just regular fish like trout and, you know,
right,
salmon and that kind of stuff. But then you get harder ones like, oh, no, there's a there's a swarm of barracudas coming, and you got to kill those, and then big giant shark bosses, and you could just do fish and sea mammals, basically, would be your finned sea mammals would be awesome. I would love that.
Make this game now, and I want one of the death moves for the bad guys to be, he just starts slapping you in the face. You can't get away. It's like...
It was even better with the visual of you doing that, by the way.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
Yeah, I really liked it. All right, what else you got? You played something else?
Oh, I did. I got a developer review copy of Unforeseen Incidents. Oh, a mystery is afoot. And you know what I like to do? Mm. I like to point and click. You like pointing and clicking?
Sometimes. Depends
sometimes
on the game.
Yeah. I like it. Sometimes I also like to point and click. And this game is just that, but it's got such a great, once again, another indie game with some really great voice acting. Nobody big that you ever heard of before, but just really makes me feel invested to the characters and the art style. I'm a sucker.
I love this. This is cool. Yeah.
I'm a sucker. It's kind of that Shade Sail stuff in the background, kind of like Borderlands, but not quite, because it's much more sketchy. They got that ink sketchy kind of thing.
I
where
love
it's just
ink
like
sketchy. Yes.
Yeah, and the characters are super thin. Mm-hmm. You know, like really super skinny and thin and modern, and looks like
kind of Mike Mignola kind of Hellboy style.
Exactly. That's a perfect. It is much more Hellboy style. You're right. And there's one statue immediately. I was like, oh, that looks like some of the guys from Saga, that comic book series where you know they're walking around with the monitor heads, because that's one of the life forms there.
Yeah.
So there's like a statue of that. But anyway, and not to get too far off topic there, it's an interactive mystery, and you go from scene to scene, and you try to interact with objects and figure out what you need them to do. And you collect things as you go along, and then you take those and you can drag them down onto other elements. Like the main element you have is you're a nerd, okay? So, but you're a handyman nerd. So you're not necessarily super nerdy, but you're kind of smart, but you're a little bit awkward. So anyway, you start out there, you're a handyman, and you work on computer parts, and apparently... right away, one of the people you're interacting with thinks you also can work on cars. So you have to repair this car, but you are really a jack of all trades in this game. And your primary tool is a multi-tool. You've had one of those multi-tools,
sure,
right?
Sure, I've got one right now.
Yeah, got one right now. So you're basically MacGyvering your way through a lot of stuff. There's a lot of splicing of cables, taping cables up to solve problems. Figuring out how to distract characters, and
he needs an upgrade on his bed. My gosh.
Oh, his bed is right on the floor. He is a single man. Apparently I can't tell the age range. Maybe he's in his 20s, didn't go to college, but he's really big into ham radios, which comes up later on. I'm only in like chapter 2 so far, but the mystery that's going on is Yale Town, which is where he lives, having an epidemic, an outbreak of this horrible disease that makes you bleed from your face.
Ugh.
So yeah, so in different orifices, but you only see the face. There's a lot of good subtle humor in this game. I've really enjoyed chuckling at stuff. I haven't laughed out loud, but I've certainly chuckled, and I've certainly been enjoying myself, and I'm certainly being charmed by these characters that he's interacting with. Trying to think what else was going on with this. I've only been through chapter 1, which is a couple of hours of play. I'm guessing this game is probably maybe 10, 15 hours of gameplay. I didn't see it on how long to beat, but I feel like where I'm progressing at right now is going to be right in there, which is perfect. Because I do like to point and click, but there's limits to me pointing and clicking.
I understand. You know? Yeah, you need good pace. These games that depend on their pacing. If they're done well, they're amazing experiences, and I want to play them all, but sometimes they are boring. But this looks great. I would play the hell out of this. This looks really good.
Yeah, it just came out May the 24th, so this past week, and I would recommend it. At $19.99, I didn't pay for this one, but I could certainly see myself paying you know, $14.99, $19.99. I think that's probably the right price for
love
this
the,
game.
Love the art on it. It's really good.
Oh, the art is so good. The art is really good. I did get frustrated in a couple of spots where I couldn't quite figure out some of the puzzles, and there was a lot of backtracking, and I missed some stuff where I didn't find it. But I found some tools to help with that that I didn't see in the tutorial or instructions.
Yeah.
And in this game, if you hit the space bar, it will show you the hot spots on the screen where you can click. And so it's kind of like a little quick cheat. Like, you still have to figure out stuff. It's not like
I love that song. I want to take you to a space bar. Is that not the song?
Space bar.
It's not how it goes?
Okay. No, that's not exact. Not at all. I want to take you to
a gay bar. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, that's not it.
That you do, but one of your best friends is gay, and he's at a hotel, and you go, and you're talking to him, and he just kind of all of a sudden starts, you know, there's such a familiarity that they don't make a big deal about it. They just kind of just like, whoop, okay, yeah. He's going to go out with a dude, and that's it, and they just kind of kept on going. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, you got
right. So they didn't make a big production of it, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. I'm with you. This is great.
It was natural conversation, like you would expect in conversation. However, the weirdo lady who run across the first who has the disease, I'm going, dude, get out of there.
Yeah, get out of there.
Get
we
away.
don't want your disease here. We Johnny. Don't want nothing like that.
Yo. No diseases. None.
My game of the week. Actually, it's great. We're going to finish on two mobile games here. Check this out. My game of the week is Pocket Run Pool. And you're saying to yourselves, Pocket Run Pool. That's weird.
I think it's supposed to be Pocket Pool Run.
I wish. I really do wish. But it's not. It's called Pocket Run Pool. And it's this mobile game made by Zach Cage. You all know him because he does a lot of other really great games. They're always premium games. Well, this one's free, but you can buy out of ads and stuff like that, which I always do if I can. I like to support the developers that way. Okay, if I said to you, hey, guess what? There's a new mobile game on iOS and Android about playing pool. You'd go, okay, Scott, well, that's exciting. Thanks for letting us know about this amazing new genre that we're about to bust into, because there's a million of these things and they're all boring and who cares? This is so different than that. So you get your rack of balls like you do. You break it, you know.
Your rack of balls.
You decide what your angle is going to be. Then you whack those balls and they go flying around. And all it went during the initial breaking, all of the pockets are 10 points or times 10.
Cool.
So if you get, let's say, a 3 in a 10 pocket, that's 30. So you get 30 points. If you get during the times 8, you know, it's times 8, times 6, times 2, times 1, times 4, and times 10. And every time you make a shot, they rotate. So the points go to different places. If you get the 8 ball in, it doesn't end or cause you any problems. It just randomizes where the 10 is, or randomizes where the points are. Your goal is just to get as many points as you can. There are tournaments. There are standard ways to play. There's like a weekly challenge mode, some other stuff. If you miss getting something in a pocket, you lose a ball. You start with 3. They're basically lives. Okay. So you have 3 white balls to start with. You lose a life if you miss. If you scratch, you lose a life, meaning white ball goes in a pocket, you lose a life.
I like the idea that we equate lives with turns and that kind of stuff in this game.
Yeah, basically, I don't even know how else to explain it, because that's kind of the point of the game, is they really turned it on its head. Like,
right,
it's not normal pool; it's something kind of different, and it makes you want to never stop playing. I am horribly addicted to this game.
It looks so. It
is
visually
simple.
Visually, it's just seeing it is just satisfying. It has a very aesthetic appeal to it.
Have that. It's and again, they're not breaking any rules here. You're not looking at it going, oh, this is the most visually appealing game I've ever looked at. It's not like that at all. It's just the take on this is so quick and clean and fun, and just want to do it again and again and again. Ooh. And the strategy is different every game, and I just get completely absorbed in it. And the tournament mode is my favorite thing to do. I love playing that because you only get one shot at it. And it's a pre-configured break. So it's already, the balls are already broken and they're kind of scattered around. And there's in theory, a perfect way to get the best score. So you got to use your head a little bit. A little bit of a puzzle mode in that mode, kind of. You don't have to play it that way, but, you know, that's, you got to think about it. And you're playing against other people. And then in 20 minutes or so, they let you know how you did because they're waiting for everybody else to finish their turns. And when they get back to you, by their turn, I mean in a complete, you know, a complete emptying of the board. They come back in the 20 minutes and it gives you a notification on your phone, says, congratulations, you were third of the top, you were number three in the top 10. Or you were outside the, it only tells you if you're outside the top 10 or if you did better than 10. And more often than not lately, I'm like, you know, second to fifth. I've yet to take first, but it's awesome. I love it. You should play it.
It looks pretty cool. I like it. I'm gonna throw it on there.
Yeah. And like I said, it's free to play. You can pay, I think it was $3 or something, maybe four to unlock all the, you know, not have any of the the ads and stuff in it.
Right, right.
And I always do that if I get the option. I'd love that. Anyway, I really like it. Tell me about your mobile game. What'd you get this week?
Absolutely. So my game is not game of the week. My game is I'm never touching this piece of crap again. So I was like looking around. There's a lot of games I had on my mobile device that I haven't played. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to delete all these because I'm not going to play them. I said, let me hit the top 20 on Google Play Store and see what's out there. So I'm kind of scrolling through there. And I'm like, played it. And I get down to like about 20 and it says Party Masters. And it's got like 4.6 out of 5. And I'm like, oh, that's good reviews. So I grabbed this game.
Yeah.
And it's called Party Masters. And it looks like a dude is just a stage performer. And all he really does is just shoot out bills. So it's just one of those bills, you know, it's like making it rain.
Making it rain with the money. Yep.
Here comes the rain. So it's a clicker. So you just keep clicking it and he just keeps making it rain on the audience. And what's going on is he's kind of like the MC and in the behind him are these pop culture icons that are caricatured. You know, you get Miley Cyrus up there from time to time and all these different we're coming in on a wrecking ball and that kind of stuff. So the faster you're dropping the money down, the faster they dance and you're leveling up. And this is all really kind of cool. I mean, it's got like this almost, you ever heard Bubble?
Is this it right here? Check it out.
Yeah.
Ooh, the music's great.
Yeah, it sounds like Bubble Butt. You ever heard that?
Bubble Butt. Oh, yeah, he's making it rain with his cash here. He also looks like he might be vigorously masturbating if you look too hard.
It's pretty bad. So you're sitting, there's a cat next to you. I don't know what he does exactly yet, but he's there, and he's like hanging out with you. I guess he's your hype man, your hype cat.
Yeah.
So he's out there, meow! And so, you know, and it's pretty cool because you get a money gun, and you can like, you can like just really just go to town. That's one of the level ups you get. And so that was really fun for about a minute. I was really enjoying myself.
Yeah.
And then here come the ads. And the ads, the faster you upgrade, the faster the ads come. So eventually I was just, I would tap for about 5-6 seconds, then the ad pop up. I'm going to kill that. And then 5 or 6 more seconds, another ad. I'm like, oh my God, come on. And the bad thing is, since it's a tapper, they keep throwing the ad in. Okay, so there's like so many hot zones on this stupid game. Yeah. So you got to be careful not to click on the top right or top left or can't click on the bottom or everything. You got to click right in the center. Well, you know where they're going to throw the ad up.
Oh, right where you're tapping. Yeah.
Right where you tap, right in the middle. Yeah. You know, and it just keeps popping up. And I'm like, son of a butthole, because I like the way the game looks.
Yeah.
I like the way the game plays. And I'm like, I just don't like this horribly, horribly invasive ads. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll just pay for it. What's it like, $2.99?
Yeah.
No, they got a monthly deal. You have to sign up for
it's a subscription. No, man.
For like $7.98 or something. I'm like, I'm not paying $8 a month to bubble butt and push the button. I mean, doing that.
That's a terrible deal. That's not worth it.
Right. And if you're going to, I mean, if you're that sleazy with your ads, I can't imagine if I was to give you my money for a monthly agreement. So yeah, go ahead. Just take it out. Go ahead. Just take all the money. I don't care. Now I'm like, get out of here. So I was like a little bit perturbed because I was like, it was getting good reviews. So I went on the review site and I started reading the reviews. All the most recent reviews, like one star, too many ads, one star. And then there's occasionally people, I didn't have any ads on mine. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You're part of the team.
Yeah, you know what's going on.
Yeah, so But I noticed that a lot happening a lot more lately. It's a bigger complaint I have for the Google Play Store. It doesn't seem like they're doing as good a job of watching this stuff, yeah. in my opinion. Yeah. And it seems like I've seen a lot more stuff creeping in like that. And people are gaming the system, if you will.
Well, iOS is full of this stuff, too. Like, it's just...
It's just sad.
I hate it because maybe there's something here. I'm not really big on these idle clickers anymore. I used to sort of be. I used to pick them up and say, oh, an idle clicker that's kind of an RPG. This seems interesting. I'll play this. And then I'm almost always disappointed. It always, I fall off really quick. And then I really fall off quick if they're feeding me ads constantly. Like, forget it. Yeah. And like a subscription? I can't believe they want a subscription to this.
I would have went as much as...
Gross.
$3.99. I mean, I would have went $3.99. I mean, there's no way they couldn't make a very good, decent profit off selling this game for, $2-3. I wouldn't even say anything if they said $4.99. I'd be like, okay, well, that's fair. That's what you want. That's people are into this. See, some of the later gameplay apparently is you can buy a mansion and you can upgrade different elements of your character, which is kind of like, a little bit of vanity stuff that's outside that clicker area. But I just don't know. I would rather have microtransactions. It's like, oh, yeah, you want to do this? That's just my opinion, I guess. What do I know? Yeah. That's just me.
I do like the art style, though. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Oh, I love the art style, and I like the energy, and I like the silliness of it. And I love the little dancing characters that they've, they have all these great little dance moves and stuff, and it's...
And that music.
Yeah.
Is it always the same music? Is it ever changed?
So far, what I played, it was always... And I went all the way to level 10 because I was thinking, okay, well, maybe this is just something that just happened in the first... And I really tried. I really, really tried because I went to level 10, and that took a long time having to click on ads every freaking 15 seconds. I'm like, and so... And a couple more fake out ads too. It's like, oh, close here, click, Play Store, pop me out. I'm like, oh, really? Come on.
Freaking Trump was on this. He popped in and dabbed.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw him dab. That's cool.
There's the dancing shark. Who was that? Was it?
Katy Perry. Yeah.
Katy Perry did that a couple years ago. So there's a lot of, fairly modern references that were fun. It was a fun day. It was, like I said, it's too bad. It's too bad.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of fun.
Well done. One good mobile game, one terrible one, you guys. You decide which one you're going to throw your money at. And I'll tell you what, $4 for $3.99 for Pocket Pool Party Pud. What is it? Pocket Fed. What is it?
Pocket Fed. Pocket Run Pool.
Pocket Run Pool.
No, they had Pocket Pool Run.
They had to put run in the middle or else people said Pocket Pool, which is a whole different activity.
Pocket Pool Fun. Pocket Pool Fun.
Not since high school have you had that kind of fun. All right. Enough of that. Check it out. We have one news item today, and it's appropriate. I'm playing the Delfino Plaza Mario remix in the background because it's a Nintendo story.
You only need one.
You only need one. Nintendo Switch eShop updated with a bunch of returning classics. Oh, look at this. The lead up to E3 2018, which, by the way, will feature commentary from me, you, and Patrick, and... possibly John and whoever. We don't know when or what the schedule is yet, but we're working on it. Very excited about it. Anyway, they've added a ton of games to the Switch eShop. And when quantity rarely equates to quality, in this case, actually a little bit of both. So here's what you're getting, okay? So this is on the storefront as of... this is all happening between now and May 30th. So there's new stuff and they're going to keep adding it until the 30th. Street Fighter technically turned 30 last year. Capcom held off on releasing the series' 30th anniversary collection until the spring. There are 12 games packed into this one, starting with the first Street Fighter and ending with Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. A handful of the included games also offer online multiplayer, which is a dope addition for anyone whose teen years were spent forcing quarters into arcade slots. That compilation comes out on the 28th, or 29th rather. I think I'm getting this. It's got like Alpha, Street Fighter Alpha in there, a couple of those iterations. I thought Alpha was amazing back in the day, like 2D animation to the hilt. It was incredible. I'm a big fan of Street Fighter, so I probably will get that. Anyway, Switch comes as close as we have to a Castlevania game. Koji Iragashi, rather, the series creator, releases his one Kickstarter game. It's his spiritual successor to consoles this week. Funny thing is, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon is the Kickstarter project stretch goal companion name, which resembles the NES platformer. Big Brother Bloodstained Ritual of the Night has spent years in development, as Kickstarters often do. Back in 2015, became Kickstarter's highest funded game, or highest funded game ever. I can't talk. Only to be delayed until sometime in 2018. Anyway, they'll have a little something tied you over if you want the little 2D one.
Cool. I'm down with this. This looks good.
I'm going to give you the other names real quick here. The Arcade Archives, Neo Geo Top Players Golf. That's a great golf game. 6180 to the Moon. Don't know what that is. Some of these aren't going to... I mean, you're not going to know what these are. Dead Fun Pack, Penguins and Aliens Strike Again. We're back in Llama Town there. I don't think I like it. Die for Valhalla.
Hey.
You're doing that all the time.
Every day.
Every day, Brian. Laying it down for Valhalla. Shiny and chrome. Discovery Dungeon Rushers. That's a great game. I like Dungeon Rushers a lot. I will play that on there. It's a great platform for it. Escape Game. Aloha. That's a Randy Jordan's in that. Randy's in
Aloha.
That. Yeah, yeah. Fallen Legion, Rise to Glory, Harvest Moon, Light of Hope Special Edition, Jumping Joe and Friends, Jurassic Pinball, Knights of Pen and Paper Plus One Deluxier Edition.
Hey, that's good stuff.
I like that. Legend of K Anniversary, whatever that is. Say it with K. Diamonds from K. I don't know, is that a diamond thing? Mecha Storm N++, fantastic game. Pixel Junk Monsters 2 is being released on this device that used to be a Sony-only joint. Punch Club Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Edition, which we mentioned. Yoku's Island Express, that's already on Steam, whatever that is. And Zenbound 2, pretty good load for lead up to E3. If you were like, man, there's nothing to play on my Switch, I got news for you. There is all the stuff to play on your Switch.
I really like Zenbound 1, but haven't played 2. Well, you should
get in there and try it out. Anyway, that's something to check out. Hey, we also got, oh gosh, look at this. This is a cool thing. Your emails. Oh, whoops. That didn't work. Hold on. Okay, now it's working. Emails and stuff. This is boopshow@gmail.com is the email address, or you can use the contact link over at the website, which is frogpants.com/boop. That'll get you there as well. Hi, Scott and Brian. Just wanted to see if Scott has checked out Wizard of Legend yet. I think it just came out last week. It's an indie roguelike game on the Switch, and it seems right up his alley. Especially after he mentioned on the last show that he plays Diablo 3 like it's Wizard of the game. I think Scott would really dig it, and I would love to hear his thoughts. Thanks. Eric, I've got good news for you. A code for that game is supposedly forthcoming in my inbox, and I'm just waiting for it. Yeah, so I'm going to check that out. It's called Wizard of Legend, not Wizard of the Game. Wizard of Legend. And I want to say it was a Kickstarter that did really well.
I want to say I think you're right. I've been peeking at this one myself the last couple of weeks. It's shown up in my Steam. What do they call it? Queue. It's the highlight queue or something
like
that.
Queue, yeah, or whatever it's called now. Let's see. I'm going to take a look at it here. Wizard of Legend. It's kind of 2D looking, which is fine. I'm down with that. The combat looks really frenetic and jumpy and kind of awesome, which again is why I love my wizard in Diablo. Oh yeah, I have to get this. Look at this.
It looks good. It looks good.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm told a code is coming. If it doesn't show up, I'll just get it. It's only $16. I'll pay for that.
Yeah. And then when the code shows up, send it to me.
Yeah. And then give it to Brian. Exactly. Then we both can play. Oh, yeah, it's not multiplayer.
Oh yeah. Oh.
It does have local co-op and shared split screen, but no online play. Anyway, it looks neat. I'm gonna check it out. I like Wizards. Wizard the game. Bring it on.
I like Wizards.
What?
I like Wizards and Pocket Pool.
We got one more email. We usually only do one, but I'm going to do one more today from Mink, who wrote in, says, Scott and Brian, you were asking how many times people have bought a single video game. I couldn't resist emailing in to say that I had 3 copies of Diablo 2. The original game, of course. I had the expansion when it came out as well, but only 1 copy of that. Why so many copies? Well, obviously you save up a lot and bought it when it first came out. I was in middle school at the time. I got copy 2, and my mom took it away to punish me for something or another, and she completely lost it. So she bought another 3rd copy for me when she gave it back, as if it was the original. I only found out later. So he didn't know at the time that wasn't the one. He didn't know it was like, it's like getting a cat that looks the same as the cat she killed.
Right. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, this is the one. No, I didn't lose it. I'm responsible. Ah, crap. Found the original?
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. It says, I also got copy 3 again when my mom took the disc away years later. The difference is taking away a new game from a middle schooler is a big deal. Taking away a $20 game from a high schooler is a pretty easy go out and buy another copy kind of deal. Also, one of the movie discs broke, and I finally had a computer with enough space to install movies. Mink. Movies meaning the Diablo 2 cutscenes. Well done. That's fantastic. And Diablo, the series in general, is a great place to waste your money. So I'm totally fine with it. I think this is a good place to do that. Boopshow@gmail.com, boopshow@gmail.com, or the website over at frogpants.com/BOOP. And there's a little contact link up on the top, and you can click that, and boom, you're in. We wish you would, because we like getting your comments. Brian, anything else going on that we should mention before we go today?
Oh, that's a good question, Scott. What am I playing next week? I don't even know, because you know what? Between now and next week, I believe we will see our new PlayStation games out, and we'll also see our humble monthly bundle come up, maybe.
And isn't the week after that E3, or have I got my schedule wrong?
Is it July or is it June?
It's June. It's June.
June. Yes, June. Yes, so very, very shortly. Very shortly.
Like I have time for any of this. I'm trying to get a Kickstarter.
Oh, you got
fulfilled.
Time for all of it. All you need to focus on is finishing that God of War so we can talk about the spoiler show we're going to have.
I am going, although they're not in here right now, I am going to an arcade after this. We do a traditional Memorial Day arcade visit.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, I am going to play Northgard.
Oh, Northgard's a good game.
I did grab Northgard.
I have that as well. I wonder if that is online. Dude, we need to play some games. Let's play Battle Right. That's what we're going to do next. We're playing Battle Right.
Battle Right.
You and I. We just need to pick it and say, okay, get it. It's free. You have it. I'm going to go to an arcade today.
And by the way,
people are saying, Scott, what kind of tradition is an arcade visit on Memorial Day? And it's a simple one. My dad, all throughout the 80s, owned arcade machines. We had multiple arcades and malls, and we had every Pizza Hut in the entire state. Had one of my dad's sit-down cocktail model arcade cabinets. So he died in 2000, and our way, rather than go moping around the gravestone and going meh, 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 what we do is we go visit a thing that he used to love working with, and that's how we remember my dad, is by throwing a bunch of nickels and quarters into a machine. So that's what we're doing today. Taking the kids, doing it right. So that's the plan. I hope you all have similar great times on today's weird holiday for Americans only and the rest of the world. I guess you're just working like normal. Thank you, chat room, for being here live. You guys are awesome every week. I've noticed the audience, both live and downloads later for the show, have been growing.
Yes.
And I don't know why, but
it's working.
Thrilled about it. Whatever's going on, keep that up. I guess we have to keep up whatever it is that's going on.
Well, we got this.
Do we have this? All right.
Oh my God, we're going to lose it.
You're probably right. That's going to do it for the show. Don't forget the Charity Brawl this weekend. Details at heroescharitybrawl.net. That's heroescharitybrawl.net. We'll have all 10 of us there. It's going to be fantastic, making some money for the kids. And you can be a part of that if you would like to be. So head there. And there's already people donating. You can do that stuff early if you want to. What else? Is there more? There's more to say. There is. frogpants.com/BOOP. boopshow@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at Boop Show. Brian's at The Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And you can find the show at frogpants.com/boop. And there's also a Reddit page, boopshow.reddit.com. Feel free to submit stories and things there you'd like to see us cover on the show. It's going to do it for us, for me and for Brian. We'll see you guys next time. Boop. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.